is good.
Amen.
Great, in fact, and greatly to be praised. We might ask you to stand this morning as we open in prayer, remembering those who are in need this morning. If you have a prayer request, just let it be known by the lifting of your hand. The God that I serve sees and knows every prayer request in every situation. Join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Thank you for this day and this opportunity, God, to gather together in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that you'll bless and anoint every part of this service. God, just lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Father, we do remember those who are sick today, those who are suffering, those who may be afflicted. Father, we pray, God, that you would reach out with your healing hand, touch and minister to each and every need. Now, Father, just let your Holy Spirit fall upon this place this morning. God, just let it completely saturate us, Lord, so that we can worship and praise you, God, as you so richly deserve. And we'll give you all that praise. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your hymnal. Turn with us this morning to number 92. Just a little talk to Jesus makes it right. Amen. Whatever it is, talk it over with the Lord, it makes it. Well, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Let's go. talk. If a little talk does good, imagine what a big talk, amen, would do with the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Good to see each and every one of you. We might ask our ushers to come forward this morning as we receive our Sunday morning offering. As they're coming, I want to remind you of next Sunday. It's homecoming here at First Pentecostal Church, amen. So we invite each and every one of you to come. We're going to have a wonderful morning of singing, worship, and praise, and then a time of fellowship and food. And if it's any way like it is normally, it's going to be a lot of food out there. So bring your favorites, bring your desserts, whatever you can, and be a part of that next Sunday morning. All right? Brother Thomas, ask the Lord to bless this offering this morning. Amen.
Looking for that great day. That great day when all of our names are going to be called. Are you ready to go this morning? Y'all worship the Lord as we sing this song. Y'all stand up, worship the Lord now.
Every day, every Sunday, by and by. y'all worship with us this morning. Sister Penny messaged me and asked me if I could do this song this morning. And I'm just thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful that I could be here today. I've had some rough days lately, but I just keep on praying and I keep on pressing, and I'm thankful for His goodness this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life You have been faithful. And all my life You have been so, so good.
All my life You have been so, so good.
of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Somebody needs to hear it this morning.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
One more time.
Yes, Lord. And all my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am breathing, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord, we worship you.
It's on the monitors up there. I want her to come back, and I want everybody to say the same thing that's up there. It's good to hear that, but I want you to get it in your heart this morning, the meaning of that. Sister Tabitha, come back and do that again, if you would.
All your life. Not just the high points of your life, but all of our life. Amen. Worship.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God.
Come on now.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am breathing, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Goodness of God.
every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of the Lord. Has God been good to you? Come on, give Him praise in the house this morning. My, my, my. Such a beautiful song. Such a wonderful job, Sister Tabitha. Amen. The words are so powerful. Amen. His goodness is following and running after us. I was reminded, you may be seated if you wish. If you can, if you want to stand, that's perfectly all right. I was reminded during that song of something I heard on the radio this morning as I was returning from Ashbrook, where I had visited Mother and was feeding her breakfast. And someone came on the radio there. It was the songs where they play the worship songs and all. And they was talking about the greatness of God and the majesty of God. And in our little finite minds, we try to comprehend, but I don't think we're really able. I know I'm not. Be able to understand the greatness and the majesty of God and His ability to speak all of this creation into existence except one. He spoke the trees, He spoke the mountains, He spoke the seas, He spoke the firmament, the stars, the moon. All of those things He spoke into existence. But man, He took His hand and He formed us and He fashioned us after His likeness. And there we were, not able to do anything, not able to think, talk, breathe, or do anything. Then He leaned over and so gently kissed us with His breath and breathed His breath into us. That's the reason. With every breath that I am able, I'm going to think of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. His breath is what's in me and gives me strength this morning. My, my, my. Well, if you miss Brother Jim, he's right over here. We're glad that he came through his surgery doing well. Amen. He'll be back to fighting weight before long. And we're just going to persevere till he gets ready, amen, to be back with us. Again, I want to remind you of next Sunday, we will be having homecoming. And I understand this is the 57th year. The 57th year of First Pentecostal Church here, amen, in Villa Rica. And we're so thankful for that. This morning, I'd like to turn our attention to the book of 2 Chronicles. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I sure do love you. Amen. Boy, with this much love in the house, we ought to have a time, shouldn't we? Amen. Do you really? I really do love you. Amen. And I love the Lord this morning. In the book of 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 3. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. The 7th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, so thankful for Your Word, so thankful for Your Holy Spirit that we feel in this place this morning. God, let us never, ever take that for granted. Father, we're so appreciative for Your blessing and Your anointing, for the songs of worship and praise this morning, God, that got our souls and our hearts in the frame of worship. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for the breath of life that You so graciously breathe into our lifeless bodies. Father, we find ourselves more dependent on You today than we ever have been. But God, You're a God that can do all things. I humbly ask now, Lord, that You would just take charge of this service. Anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, and speak that You would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to Your word and to Your will, and we give You praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When glory filled the house, Think about that, if you would, when glory filled the house. There have been so many messages, and all of them wonderful, concerning the building of the temple, the construction of the temple, the preparation of the temple, and then God's Spirit so was blessed or so pleased that Solomon had prayed that prayer that he just filled the whole temple, the tabernacle that was there. I want us to never, ever just come to the house of God and go simply through a routine. You know, as I read this particular story, the preparation did not take place upon the first song, nor did it take place when Solomon stood to pray. But as I read, this it had included weeks, if not months, of preparation to restore the temple, the tabernacle, to not only what its once glory was, but even beyond that, all the vessels that were obtained by David were sanctified and anointed and placed into this temple. Everything was perfect. Everything was set, letting me know that a lot of preparation went into that service. I began to think, Lord, did we just show up? We just open the doors and show up and go through our mannerisms of praising and worshiping the Lord. And Lord, do we prepare? Do we really make sacrifices through the week? Do we lay aside weights and hindrances and obstacles that might interfere with our mindset of worshiping and praising the Lord? I want to give you a new scoop this morning. Many of you may be aware of it. Some of us may not, but you can have church during the week. Amen. The God that I serve doesn't just show up on Sunday. Aren't you glad that He is there with us every day of our life, every moment of every day, and it's all right to wake up on Monday morning and just go ahead and have church? At your place of work, at your office, at your school, at your home, wherever it may be, in your car, you can worship and praise the Lord. But something spectacular happened when everybody had made their preparation for this particular service. And after, and I, this is the order basically that it was. It was, first of all, there was the preparation of the vessels. All of them were anointed. Then the music, and the singers, the worship, then the priests, and the trumpets, and then the sacrifice, and then finally the prayer of Solomon. And I want you to notice that only after the prayer of Solomon, the power of God, the Bible says, the fire came from heaven and it burnt the whole sacrifices that was offered to the Lord God. And then the house was filled with the glory of God. In one place it said, with a cloud. Same thing. God often appeared as a pillar of cloud or a fire or smoke in many, many times. This time He filled the house, signifying that He was honoring the praise. Now I begin to think, Lord, what does it take to have the glory fill the house? Not just kind of show up, but fill the house. I think it takes dedication. I think it takes preparation. I think it takes praise and worship. Sacrifice, if you would. But don't discount prayer. I believe if we made a conscious effort to be prayed up before we came into the doors of the church. Now, I believe church is a place of prayer. There's a lot of people that come to the church that have not had an opportunity to pray or have not had the Spirit of the Lord to lead them and guide them. But you, those of us who have been born again, filled with the presence of God, the power and the anointing is upon us, we have that opportunity to pray and fast before we ever enter into the place of worship. I got a feeling it'd get thick in here. I said, I got a feeling you could feel it. Amen. When you walk in the doors, amen. It didn't matter what song you sung or what scripture you read. When the glory of the Lord is in the house, I believe souls are going to be set free. I believe sickness and affliction are going to be healed. I believe problems and stress and trials are going to be a thing of the past. Amen. When we enter into the almighty presence of an amazing God. I want to share with you, if I might, testimony that happened many years ago. Many years ago. I'm reaching the age where I can say that. Many years ago. When my brother and myself were very small, elementary school age, if you would, back in the 50s. Remember the 50s? Man. What are y'all laughing about? Some of us can't even remember 50 minutes ago, but in the 50s, things were somewhat different. Styles were very different. We didn't get into a lot of things, but there seemed to be a better sense of morality, a stronger sense of patriotism, and a real sincere love for your neighbors. People actually spoke to one another on the streets. Most of the time, all the shopping was done on Saturday. So much so that they closed up the stores on Wednesday at lunch so that everybody could go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. By the way, we still have it. Still have it. But during this particular time, which was 1957. I'll tell you how old I was, but I was born in 1952. If you can figure that up, keep it to yourself. But mother had just experienced a full-term pregnancy and gave birth to a beautiful little baby girl, which would have been the first granddaughter of P.C. Bailey and Ida Bailey. Her name was Deborah Lynn Allen. The pictures that you see of her, she looked just like Dennis, my younger brother, little round face and sandy hair, and just looked to be a picture of health. But she was born with a type of blood disorder that required a blood transfusion immediately that the little hospital here was not able to do. So she only lived on this earth for 11 hours. And I can just barely remember some of the things that transpired during that time. But the pictures show that Dennis and I were standing there by the little casket, and Deborah Lynn was there just in a little tiny casket. Mother and Daddy both were devout Christians, members of the church at Rockmart. Daddy was a Sunday school teacher and a song leader. Mother was the piano player and did a lot of the singing. And her dad was the pastor of the church. Been filled with the Holy Ghost since she was a young girl. But depression took hold on Mother. Couldn't get over it. She tried, had prayer, but she really kind of gave into it and kind of just didn't want to see folks. Folks, if you don't think that can happen to you, you got another thought coming. The devil knows your weakest links and your weakest points, and he can hit you. Mother became very depressed. She became kind of introverted. And she wasn't like that. She was always an outgoing person. And she got to where she didn't want me and Dennis out of her sight at all. Just the terror and trauma of losing that baby kind of filtered over to, I hope nothing happens to my boys. And, you know, she tried to go on, but finally she took to the bed. And let me, the bed is for rest. The bed is not for depression. It's not. You can't get relief hiding, pulling the covers over your head, making sure like nothing ever happened. But when you get to that point, you need help. How many knows we have a helper? Amen. Mother went to bed. Daddy tried. Daddy was working. He tried to encourage her. He tried to help. He tried to keep us from bothering her. And it was just, from my remembrance, a time of really bad sorrow. His mother would cry constantly, just bawl. And it got worse. And it got worse, and she quit going to church. She didn't feel like she could face anybody. One evening, just maybe dusk, dark, the gray light of evening was coming through the window shades, and mother was there in the bed, and she was crying, had the covers up, and daddy was trying to sort of console me and Dennis, and car drove up in the driveway there on Harlan Lane Road, and it was my granddaddy and my grandmother, Reverend P.C. Bailey and Ida Bailey, and they came in. Of course, we hugged them and loved them, and they were special. And then he goes into the room where mother is laying there. And he goes over there and he kneels down. He takes hold of her hand. And he whispered something to this day. I don't know what he said to her, but she just started crying. And he bowed his head. And Dennis and I were standing at the door and just watching. Daddy was standing at the foot of the bed. And that precious granddaddy, Preacher Bailey, began to get in touch with Almighty God. Wasn't a great long prayer, as I recall. It really doesn't have to be. God's really not impressed with the length of prayer. He's impressed with the quality of the prayer. But something began to take place in that room. I told you the evening shadows, darkness was approaching. And without the light switch being turned on, in my recollection, in my remembrance, there seemed to be a glowing light in that room when my granddaddy prayed. And he prayed with earnest and sincerity and believing. Not sure what he told mother, but later on, mother would say that he basically encouraged her that she couldn't continue doing this. God was going to deliver her. And that God doesn't make any mistakes. And that the going home of that baby girl was God's plan. No guilt on your part. Nothing you could have done would have changed the outcome. Something to that effect. She never told us exactly what Papa said. But as Papa began to pray, he began to pray a little louder. And all of a sudden, there was a thickness that entered that room. On Harlan Lane Road, in that little bitty frame house. So much so that my brother and I just stood a little bit closer to each other and just witnessed what was going on. I was 5, he was 3. Just little kids. But I tell you, at 5 years old, I felt the presence of God. I know my brother felt the presence of God, because he was as still as I've ever seen him in my life. Papa prayed harder. He got to praying, and all of a sudden, mother's crying went into praise. There's a difference. I've seen people cry, and it be about praise. You know what? They begin to think on the goodness of God. They begin to think, with every breath that I am able, I'm going to praise Him. Amen. And when they're crying like that, that's okay. Amen. Because those are tears of joy. Those are tears of victory. Amen. Those are hands that mother begin to raise up and thank the Lord and begin to praise and glorify God. And it wasn't any time till the covers were thrown back and she was on the floor, hands lifted, glorifying and praising God. I tell you, to this day, there was a glory of God that entered into that little room because of the prayers of a man who believed that God was going to intercede on behalf of his daughter. God did. The doctors had already told mother, if you don't get a hold of yourself, you're going to lose your mind. It was that bad. But you know what? God showed up that. And he made a way and a difference in her life. I said that to say this. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're facing. If you will pray and believe the power of God. I said the power of God. The glory of God. Will fill the place where you prayed. If it's in your closet, if it's at your office, if it's here in church, when you get in touch with Almighty God, you begin to lift Him up and praise Him and glorify Him. Glory is going to fill the house. Hallelujah. And church, we know that. I don't think I'm telling you anything new. Because if we seek God faithfully and glorify and praise Him, He will do His part. But here, He showed up to a backslidden nation. Been a long time since they had had a tabernacle. Been a long time since they'd had a temple of praise. Started all the way back in the wilderness when Moses and the congregation erected a little bitty tent-like tabernacle. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't care if it's a tent or a $1 billion building. When the sacrifice is given and the prayer is prayed and the faith is given, God will come in. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God will show up? Amen. When we get in one mind and one accord and open up the windows of heaven and begin to seek God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and body. So, everything was in prepared. Already the music, everything was done. Solomon began to pray. But I want you to focus your attention. And I can only imagine. I know we've had some shouting good services. And they're good. And they're wonderful. And I love them. Praise God when God shows up and blesses. And you know, sometimes we get disappointed if we hadn't had one of those. But you know what? God is able and God is willing if we are. Amen. He doesn't withhold His power. Amen. He's wanting to bless us. His storehouse is full of riches. But these people were so awestruck seeing the tabernacle so filled with the cloud and the smoke and the glory of God that the ministers or the priests couldn't even stand to minister. I would imagine it was a spectacle to behold. I imagine generations talked about it for years and years and years. Because the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I was thinking about that all week and how I would kind of love to have been there. Just seen that spectacular event. Very quickly I was reminded, whether God spoke to me or got my attention or just made me remember something. As great a spectacle as that was, as wonderful as the music and the trumpets and the horns and the marching in of the Levites and the singers and the priests coming in, all of that was spectacular and wonderful, and the praise was glorious. Sometimes we overlook something that is very, very important in that whole story. I want to focus our attention on 2 Chronicles 5, 3 through 7. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priest and the Levites bring up. Preparation. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrifice sheep and oxen, which could not be told or numbered for multitude. Now I want you to look at verse number 7. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant. Everybody say the promise. Of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. You have your thumb. I'm going to flip over to Exodus chapter number 26, verse 33. This is very important. Exodus 26, 33. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. So as I was led to those scriptures, I begin to say, Lord, thank you that I wasn't there to behold the majesty, to feel the Shekinah power and glory of God as it entered into that house. So much so that the priest couldn't even stand to minister. So much so that all the congregation were so awestruck that they bowed upon the pavement to pay homage. Glorify the Lord. Brother David, they could not go beyond the veil. All of that glory, all of that pageantry, all of that praise, and it's wonderful and it's good. But I wouldn't trade places for none of them at all. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's times I need to enter past the veil. There's times I can't get no help anywhere else. I got to go into the Holy of Holies. Amen. But then I wouldn't have been able to do it. I'd have had to go to a priest. I'd have had to go to someone else. And they would have had to offer sacrifice on behalf of me. But God made a way. I said, God made a way. That promise was yet to come. I want to tell you today, that promise has come. That promise has been fulfilled in so much that the veil of the temple, when Jesus Christ died and gave up the ghost, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, saying, come on in. I'm going to fill you with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You think it's something to feel it in the house? Wait till you feel it in the tabernacle. If you know what I'm talking about, give him praise this morning. If he lives and abides within your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Only the priests could enter. People could enjoy the glory and the worship, could not enter into the holiest holies. The covenant stayed behind the veil for generations. For generations. Somebody might ask, Lord, why so long? God has a plan. His plan is perfect. And his time schedule is perfect. Doesn't coincide with mine. He doesn't ask me what's convenient. He just asked me to simply put my faith and trust in him. I don't know why some prayers are immediately answered and some are prolonged. But I will assure you there's a reason. If only God knows, there's a reason. Sometimes, what is the song? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Have you ever prayed about something and said, Lord, in mercy, I'm glad God didn't do that? Because he knows the future. We only know the present. But for years and generations, people were just excited just to feel the presence of God, to see the majesty of his works, the glory of the trumpeteers and the singers of the Levites and the Psalms. All that's wonderful and that's precious. But that, without the Spirit of the Lord, will get you nowhere. We have to have access to the promise. We have to have access to the covenant. The covenant is the mighty word of God. It said, in this day, a child is born, a Savior. That supreme sacrifice came to this earth to be the propitiation, the mediator between us and God, the sin carrier, the sin deliverer, the redeemer. Hallelujah. And with him, the key to the holiest of holies. I want you to turn with me to St. Luke chapter number 23. Verse number 44. And it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The followers of Christ, probably very saddened by this event, rightfully so. His closest followers were there to view this terrible, fateful day. Maybe they had an inclination. I know that Jesus had dropped hints along the way. In fact, if he had completely flat out told them what was going to happen, some of his disciples still did not believe him. But what they saw was, as the darkest hour in their life, was simply the opening up of the promise of God. You know what? I'm going to speak that a minute again because God just checked me. Some of you may be here today and you're facing the darkest hour of your life. And you're looking at it as the end of something, instead of the beginning of something. Maybe you're looking at it as that God doesn't care, or he doesn't hear, or he doesn't love you. If you've been carrying that burden long, the adversary's already told you that. God don't love you. He don't care what you're going through. Nobody cares. I'm sure the disciples thought that was the longest, darkest day. The rabbi, the master, the Messiah, the Christ, hanging there on the cross. Maybe some even questioned if, God, do you really care at all? Maybe that's what you're facing. But as that room lit up in that little frame house on Rocky Branch Road, on Harlan Lane Road, God can come into your situation and flip that light switch on. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, change the direction. Just felt like somebody needed to hear that. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent, was torn in the midst, in the middle, from top to bottom. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Not died, gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. But it goes beyond being a righteous man. He was and is the sacrificial Lamb of God who met his destiny, who was fulfilled that day as he gave up that ghost. His mission was done on earth in that body. And that unlocked the covenant. That unlocked the promise. I would assure you that those trumpeteers would love to have what you got. Come on. Hallelujah. The Lord says, taste of me and see that I am good. How many have tasted of the Lord and knows that he is good? The Lord that I'm talking about, the Spirit that I'm talking about, the Comforter that he gave, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that he has placed into us to seal us, to give us power, to raise us up on that day. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but one of these days, I'm going to lose the gravitational pull. I'm going home with Jesus. I'm going to leave it all behind. Why? Because the veil was torn. Why? Because I've got access and you've got access to come boldly before the throne of God and receive of that covenant, receive of that promise, and receive of that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When glory filled the house, what a sight. What a wonderful happening. I can tell you, a little altar in Rottmar, Georgia, that same granddaddy was pastor, gave an invitation one night. I got up out of my seat. I had for years enjoyed the singing. There's just something about Holy Ghost filled singing. I said, there's just something about it. When you feel what you're singing about, glory to God. It's more than just the words. It's more than just the music. It's more than that. It's what you're feeling in it. Amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He set me free. I'm on my way to heaven. When you feel the anointed presence of God, and I'd grown up in it, felt it, loved it. When I was a little boy, I loved the power of God come down and people begin to shout all over because me and Dennis could get on the back bench and play. That's the only time we could ever get by with it. So many saints running around, glorifying and praising God, me and Dennis ducking and playing. I loved all that. But amazingly, about the middle of the week, my glory was gone. Said I just felt it for a little while and I needed another dose. Till that invocation when Papa, Brother Bailey, closed his Bible, called for a song, opened the altar, and the convicting power of God drew me to an altar. I don't remember passing by anybody. I don't remember who was looking or not. I just remember that altar, my destination. I was focused on that. And I hit the altar. I just didn't come up and just kneel. I mean, I hit the altar. I began to pray, Lord, I am so sorry. Please. I know I can't make it to heaven just praising you. Just listening to good music. Just being a part of the service. I need to go into the holiest of holies. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I know Brother David has. He gets excited every time. But when that thing began to rip, you was on his mind. And you was on his mind. And I was on his mind. Amen. When the power of God ripped that, he said, come on in. You can come where only the priests used to come. You could come where nobody else has been able to come. You can enter into the holiest of holies, the presence of God. I hit that. I had come to the altar before. I don't want to mislead you and make you think that's the first time I ever hit that altar. That's the most serious that I had ever been when I hit that altar. Sometimes I just came to the altar because I just wanted to feel good. And I usually did feel good every time I got up out of the altar for a little while. That night I stayed. I stayed and I prayed and I forgot who was praying. It didn't care. It didn't matter. I said, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving until I get it. Lord, I want to go into the holiest of holies. I want to open up my heart's door. I want to swing the door wide open. Lord, I want you to come into my life. Lord, and I want you to come into my life, not only as Savior, but Lord, to clean me up, purge my soul, take out all the bad stuff, forgive me of my sins. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Spirit of the Lord, let me come into the holiest of holies. And he filled me with his presence. And thank God he's still there today, when glory filled this house. I said, when glory filled this house. Hallelujah. The greatest day of my life was when the Spirit of the Lord came in. Has glory filled your house? Have you given him an open invitation? Have you opened your heart's door? I said, Lord, I can't make it without you. I need you every day of my life. Lord, I don't need you just to fix things. I need you to fix me. And what a difference that prayer makes. Because I prayed the other prayer too. But when I began to pray, Lord, fix me, amazingly, things got fixed too. I said things got fixed too when he fixed me. It's amazing how things will turn around for you if you'll let God fix you. Amen. If you'll let him come into your life, take up that abode when glory filled the house. The saving grace of Almighty God is beyond our ability to comprehend. I know the devil tells you, well, you've been too bad. God's never going to save you. The devil's a liar. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. That applies to you. Applies to me. That applies to every sinner who will bow down and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them, come into their life. I'm going to ask our music if they would return. I want everyone that can stand in the house. If you can't, just reverence God. We're thankful for the power of God and the glory of God that enters into this tabernacle. And folks, if we ever get to a point where he doesn't enter this tabernacle, we better just hit the altar and start praying. But I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Not only has God entered this structural place of worship, but only you and God know this. Have you let him enter into your spirit, into your soul? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come in as Lord and Savior? I don't know why that we would put it off. I don't know why we would tarry. I don't know why we'd say, oh, until I get my life straight. No, you're not going to get your life straight. You can't do that on your own. It takes the Spirit of God. So if that's the case, I want you to let the power of God draw you to this altar. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Play when you get ready. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If you're ready, when we've been there 10,000 years, not shining as the sun. Where we've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Sing it, church. This altar's open if you need prayer. If you need healing, this altar's open. If you need deliverance. Thank you. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord praise if you love Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're able, if you're standing in close proximity, reach out, take your neighbor's hand or your loved one as we prepare to dismiss in prayer this morning. We're so thankful for God filling the house this morning with His glory. Yes. Oh, come here. You was asked to stand in on behalf of... Dear Lord. Certainly. Sister Connie, Terry, Sister Debbie Grimm. Right. And if there's any other needs in the house, just join hands. We're going to pray right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, whatever sickness or every affliction, Father, as we stand this morning, God, on behalf of these who have requested prayer, I pray that you would enter into their house, God, with healing, with anointing. God, raise them up, touch them, heal and strengthen their bodies. Brother Terry, right now, their families, Lord, those who are sleeping this morning with sickness, reach down right now, God, and promote healing into their body. Lord, and by faith, we call it done. In Jesus' name. We are giving praise and thanks to Lord.
God bless you. Have a glorious day. Hope to see you tonight. There's no telling what God is liable to do. Can we pray? Heavenly Father. Words alone can never let you know how much we thank you, God, for your presence this morning. God, from our hearts, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, your abounding love, and your healing power. Father, I pray that you would go with each and every one of us today as we dismiss from these premises. God, lead us and guide us and direct us. Bring us back, Lord, with a ready, made-up mind to worship, to glorify, and to praise you. We do remember those who are suffering. And we pray for those who are sick, asking you to touch and heal them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a glorious day.